קבלה של בעל הסולם בספר כתבי בעל הסולם אנחנו נמצאים בעמוד 183 אות פי ה' אתם מוזמנים להיכנס לאתר שלנו
We are reading from the preface to the wisdom of Kabbalah We are in item
אז שוב ספר כתבי בעל הסולם עמוד 183
We are in the preface to the wisdom of Kabbalah אות פי ה' item 88
וכבר ידעת שהזון דאק האירו את אור ההדש הזה
You already know that the zon of Ak shone this new light to the ten sfirot of Nikudim through two places. It illuminated the keter of Nikudim through the tabul and illuminated the abba ve'ima of Nikudim through the yesod. Know that this illumination Through the tabul is called cholam, which shines for the otiyot above them, because the illumination of tabul reaches only the keter of nikudim. The male level of rosh of nikudim. As written in item 74. And the male level does not expand into zat of nikudim, which are the kelim of guf called otiyot, Hence, it is considered to be shining on them only from its place above, without expanding in the otiyot themselves.
This is similar to the Rosh of Itlapshut, which we have in all the Partzufim. Prior to that, there was the Partzufim Galgalta Absag. So in Galgalta, there's only one Rosh. But in Ab, we have the Rosh of Itlapshut and the Rosh of Aviyut. The Rosh of Itlapshut in Ab is Dalet of Itlapshut. Rosh of Aviyut is Gimel of Aviyut. In Sag, the Rosh of Itlapshut is Gimel of Itlapshut, and the Rosh of Aviyut is Bet of Aviyut. Yes? Meaning the Rosh of Itlapshut is only for the Itlapshut, from below upward, in order to equalize itself and feel itself with the previous Partzuf. Here too, the Rosh of Itlapshut emerges upon Bet of Itlapshut, which is called Keter, but that's only the Rosh of Itlapshut. There are ten Sfirot, from below upwards, that's how they are. Hitlabshut. That's how they are. And then we have the Rosh of Aviyut that emerges. He's about to talk about it.
This illumination through the Yesod is called Shuruk, meaning Vav with a dot that stands inside the line of the Otiyot. The reason is that this illumination comes to Abba Ve'ima of Nikudim, which are the female level of Rosh of Nikudim, whose lights expand to the guf as well, which are the zat of Nikudim called Otiyot. This is why you will find the dot of Shuruk inside the line of Otiyot.
Meaning we have a Rosh of Aviyut, which is Abba Ve'ima, in which we have also Kelim and also lights. And from Abba Ve'ima already, from the Rosh, the true Rosh, the Guf expands. Called Otiyot. Questions? Everyone understands except for Tzvika. Oh, please. It's not clear to me yet this relationship between Nekudot and Otiyot. When they're together like this.
I don't know about Nekudot or Otiyot. I know there's a Partzuf, which is born according to the Reshimot of Sag. However, they were restricted in connection with Nehi of Galgalta. And over these Reshimot emerges, first of all, a small Partzuf called Katnut of the world of Nikudim. The world of Nikudim here is just it's a name that implies the future. It's like you're shown a baby and you're told it's Napoleon. It's Napoleon? No, it's just, you know, is that an emperor? No, but it's toward... No, this is very serious, because that leads to great confusion. So, altogether, there is something here that there's nothing here more than Aleph of Viyut in this Potsuf, but in terms of the future, looking towards Dalet Gimel of Galgalta, the additional Shemot it receives, so these are new Shemot, they need that will realize the final correction. The final correction needs to be realized. You understand? So that's how we need to look at it. So in the meantime, you have a small potzuf that emerges, which is created by Sag. Bina can give birth to it to the extent that she connects with Nehiovak, which contains all the desires of the final correction, but when Bina is impressed by them, she has to be restricted. She must be restricted, and then she can only give birth to this little potzuf called Katnut of the world of Nikudim. So you have Keter, 2.5 Sfirot of Galgalta Yanaim, that's the first Rosh, and then you have the second Rosh called Abba Ve'ima, only 2.5 Sfirot, and Guf, from the second Rosh that expands, and that's called Zon. That's all you have. It is something that is barely born.
Now inside this little parzuf, in the last otiyot we're reading about some connection between something that's called nekudot and otiyot. Can you explain this connection?
Nekudot ze aorot.
Nekudot are the lights that the limitations of the will to receive, the limitations of the kli, have entered, and they make limitations over the light with these black dots. That's why it's called dots or nekudot. The partzuf that purifies from the tabul to the peh purifies because it each time feels a limitation that causes the light to sort of escape, to depart, to rise and depart to the rosh of the potzuf. So these lights are called nekudot, implying the reason for them. Nekudot and
otiyot.
Okay, otiyot is already vessels, desires that result from the process that the previous potzuf went through. The result of what it lives and what it goes through in this whole process, this is what's called the kelim, with which it comes to the next level of development.
According to what I understand, it's the first time from the cascading of the partzufim to a state where the nekudot and the otiyot are described in a connection together.
They both belong to the departure, both of them.
Why are they appearing all of a sudden, this cholam, shuruk, chirik? Before that, there were also nekudot and otiyot. Here, there's a connection between them. It's like,
either I don't understand you, or you don't understand me.
Le tabur.
We have a development from the pit to the tabu. That's damim, right? The coupling of striking with the surrounding light. Yeah? Damim is the opnimi, inner light. What? Bitush? What? Yeah, Bitush Pnimu Makif, that's here. And here is the Bitush Pnimu Makif, yeah. And then we have what? What do you call that? Nekudot.
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 So
Tamim and Nekudot are lights, but they have a direction. Right? So the expansion from below, departure from above, departure from below. Now what are you asking? what's happening with the Tagin, you're not asking. It's the Reshimot from the departure of the lights. That's the Nekudot and Otiot. You're asking then, why are we talking about both here? Right? Nekudot and Otiot. So I'm telling you, it comes from the departure of the lights.
Why is it here the first time that it's happening? Thus far, it was also the departure of the lights. From Galgalta, there's also the departure of the lights in the Patsufim. But here, there's also a connection between Nekudot and Otiot.
Yeah. First of all, we have the true vessels that we didn't have before, because Bchina Daled is involved in them. It entered Bina, it's in Bina, and so these limitations now stem from the will to receive, which caused the shattering, will cause the shattering now, and then the final correction. That's why it's important for us. We're working on Nekudot and Otiyot. Because this, let's say, relates to the created being.
The fact that it's below the tabu, is the reason that there's something new here? Is that this Patsu for the first time?
No, there's Nekudot and Otiyot above the tabu as well. We have Tanta there too. He explained it. It's not the first time we run into the concepts of Tanta.
But the Cholam Shu'u Kinchik for the first time.
Right, that's the first time.
Is that because it's below tabu?
That's because it is Tzimtzum Bet, second restriction, and below the tabu, yeah.
Look,
it was there before also, but it wasn't apparent. However, in a concealed way, it was always active. Now, the more we move forward and the lights can no longer be in the right connection with the vessels, there's already a difference between them, a distance between them. Not like in the light of, Ensof and the Nilgalta Absag, but here there's already an equivalence. So the Nekudot, Otiyot, they begin to stand out more. Okay? Zvika wanted, yeah.
You explained earlier that the Rosh Vitlapshut and Rosh Aviyut, if you read through it, so I was asking, where is here where the Bitush, where you drew the Bitush? Where's the Hitlapshut and where's the Aviyut? Can you explain that process?
Rosh?
No, we talked about Rosh of Hitlapshut and Rosh of Aviyut.
So,
where does the Rosh of Hitlapshut clothe and where is the Rosh of Aviyut? How does that happen?
If this is, for instance, Rosh of Sag, and Guf, and then Tabu.
Tabur? No.
Then what? So the lights of Sag expand below, and then there's also Tzimtzum Bet. And so these lights go to the Rosh of Sag. And Sag makes a Zivug here over a different kind of Rosh. And then the lights come here and fill up this place that the Tzimtzum Bet allows for it to happen, and that's the Katnut of the world of Ikudim. You're asking what?
Yes, and this thing about where the Aviyut, where is the point of Rosh of Aviyut?
That the Rosh of Sag makes a coupling of striking, and then it builds it there. And so it builds the Rosh of Itlapshut, Rosh of Aviyut, and the Guf. So this is called Keter, Abba Ve'ima here, and then Zon.
And then actually he's saying that the illumination through the Taba is from above, the Otiyot from above.
Yes.
What is the new light? Why is it new? If he's telling you the illumination through the Tabor is called Cholam, the Otiyot that are above them, in the beginning he says that they illuminated on a new light. Why is it a new light in this whole process that you showed us?
Because first of all, it's a special light, it's Tzimtzum Bet, and this is called the Cholam that is above the Otiyot. Otiyot means the Kelim, the Guf, so where does it shine? The light also needs a vessel to shine, but here there is a special kind of vessel. The Rosh of Itlabshut. The light in it shines from below upwards. This is called from above the letters.
And then he says that the illumination of Tabu only comes to the Ktarim of the Nikudim.
Yeah, so the Keter, that's what it's called.
It seems to be working opposite. I don't understand that point.
I'm telling you a fact, remember it and that's it. Don't ask about it. The light that shines from above the Tabu only to the Keter of Nikudim is called Cholam. You heard? That's it. Write it down. Wait, I had a fellow there.
Rav, the question is about the light that enters Tabu. At least schematically it's understood, but the light that enters from Yesod, what Yesod are we talking about? Yes, Nekudot of Sag?
Yes, and also the Yesod can be Nehi or Vak, it depends what he talks about. Because there is the Potsuf of Nehi of Ag, and there is also another Partsuf over it, which is how Nekudot of Sag influence Nehi of Ag. And then this Partsuf is restricted, and then it already works from its Yesod. We'll learn these things slowly. He asks correctly.
We read about two kinds of lights through the Tabu and through the Yesod. This principle, does it operate in all the Partsufim?
No, it's only here. What will happen in all the Partsufim, we'll learn.
And the illumination through the Tabu, Rav, does it illuminates but does not expand? What kind of light is that?
There's a light that shines from below upwards, as it's called. It doesn't dress into the vessels of reception, but it shines from below upwards in vessels of bestowal.
Thank you.
Okay, where are we?
Yeah. Item 89. Thus, Cholam and Shuruk have been thoroughly explained as the illumination of a new light through the Tabu, which lowers the lower hay from Nikveh Naim of Keter to the Peh.
Meaning, this illumination is not a simple thing. It's a light that comes and gives Keter of Nikudim a power to move from the state of Katnut, Tzimtzum Bet, to the state of Gadlut, Tzimtzum Aleph.
And elevates the Achap of Keter once more. Is the dot of Cholam above the Otiot?
Because the Otiot start above the Keter. The Keter is the Rosh of Itlabshut. It's not a Viyud. There's no Kelim there. There's no Otiot there. So the lights that appear above the vessels in the Rosh of Itlabshut, they are called Cholam, which is the point, the symbol for it is the point above the letters. This is the meaning of the Cholam, which is the point above the lesson. And the new illumination through the Sod that lowers the lower hay from the Nikveh Naim of the Keter to the Peh above of Abba Veima and elevates the Achap of the Keter once more, raises the Achap to join it, is the dot of Cholam above the Otiyot. Because these Mochin also come in the Zat of Nikudim called Otiyot. Meaning light comes to Abba Veima, and Abba Veima receive Gadlut by this light. Abba Veima, which was here in Zon, this rises to this becomes whole ten sefirot, complete ten sefirot, and then the light shine from Abba Veima, the light shines below to Zon. Then Zon is called Otiyot or true Kelim, and Zon receive Gadlut. So we have a few stages here to bring the Partsuf into Gadlut. First of all, light shines from the Tabu into the Keter of Nikudim, and Keter enters Gadlut. And again, there's nothing besides that. But when the Keter enters Gadlut, as we once drew it. We have Keter of Nikudim, Galgalta Enayim. It's a chab is an Abba Ve'ima. This is the Keter of Nikudim. Then we have here Abba Ve'ima in Galgalta Enayim. Their chab is in Zon. Abba Ve'ima, Galgalta Enayim. Their chab in Zon. So now here we have Zon and Gagalta Enayim here, and Achab is outside of this. Here is the Parsa. Here is the Parsa. And here is the Tabul. So first time we have Gadlut in Keter. So Achab rises to Abba Ve'ima. Together they form Gadlut. Now, from this Gadlut comes already a preparation for Galgalta Enayim of Abba Ve'ima, but that's only preparation. They receive a small illumination. It's not something we learn here, but we're going to learn it in a different place. So then Abba Ve'ima receive light that activates them to make Gadlut, connecting the Achab and the Galgalta Enayim of Abba Ve'ima, from which Zon received preparation, and then Zon receive Gadlut, and then connect the Galgalta Enayim and the Zon and the Achab of Zon to them. So we have three stages here, from Katnut to Gadlut of the Partzuf. And this gives you later the implication in terms of corrections. That's why the corrections are so gradual and complex, intricate. We're going to review that tomorrow, the day after tomorrow. No, I can't draw, so the day after we'll continue. And in the meantime, another small question about that?
I wanted to understand the process.
Meaning there was Katnut in the Patsuf called the world of Nikudim. There was Katnut, first Rosh, second Rosh, and Guf. As usual, just like in Ab and Sag. But in Katnut, Katnut means activating only Galgalta Enayim. The Achabs, they don't have the power to activate them, because that's the vessels of reception. Galgalta Enayim is vessel of bestowing in order to bestow. Niv, you're not listening. So only the vessels of bestowing in order to bestow, called Galgalta Enayim, they're in the Potsuf, both in Keter, Galgalta Enayim, and Zon. Now comes an illumination that gives Gadlut to Keter. Keter raises its Achab, and it becomes complete 10 Sfirot, receiving light. Then comes the second illumination, which takes care of Abba Ve'ima. Abba Ve'ima raise their Achab and become complete 10 Sfirot. Then from Abba Ve'ima comes the light. Abba Ve'ima is Rosh, they make the Zivug Daka, and then they control the Zon, and they turn it from Katnut to Gadlut. So we see that gradually we go from Katnut to Gadlut. Why do we learn it like that? Because we care about how the shattering will happen afterwards, and what stages will then lead to the correction. We need to know that, how the correction happens, in what way, and in what order, and so this is how we begin to detail the elements of the Potsuf. Okay? No.
Just a question. In the world of Nikudim and Katnut, the Achap of Zon, Abba Ve'ima and Keter, I'm sorry, the Galgal Ta'inayim of each of them, that's actually 10 Sfirot? Can it use only the, it can use only the Galgal Ta'inayim?
This is something we need to learn. It's a question I don't want to answer. You can say that every Sfira is 10 Sfirot, that Achap is 10 Sfirot, Galgal Ta'inayim is 10 Sfirot, their connection is 10 Sfirot. You can always say that, because you can always detail each part like that. If there's a specific function, specific role for a certain part, you can look at it as 10 Sfirot with regards to its function. Even though, with regards to itself, it's just a small part.
But Zon, it's a chap, is not in usage. Does it know that it's a chap exists and it's not being used?
We are going to discuss that. In the meantime, let's keep it a secret. How can it be that if in spirituality it doesn't know where its vessels are? Can it activate them or not? So, if it doesn't know anything, then it doesn't approach any action. It's not like with us. How can that be? Ask.
We talked about the shattering. Is the shattering the part that is necessary for correction?
Of course, without the shattering, there's no connection between vessels of restall and reception, no connection between the Creator and the created being. There's a partition between them.
Meaning the shattering is also from above.
Of course it is. The Creator breaks the vessels. The upper light, the light of Ensof, enters the Kli. The whole process that we go through, the whole process that we learn, where the lights go through until the Adam HaRishon, it's in order to shatter Adam HaRishon, to force it to sin.
So why is it called a sin of Adam?
It's called a sin, so what?
But seemingly, who made this action? It's like from above, the action happened from the side of man.
Right, because it decided, it wanted to bring the final correction, but it couldn't estimate it correctly, and therefore it received in order to receive. That's called a sin.
There's no correction without shattering. No such thing can exist.
The relation to it is not how you relate to it, because everything is done by the Creator. What we can do is only raise man, ask for correction. As a result of the sin, all the sins come from the Creator. All the corrections come from you. All right? You did this to me, so I don't know. Okay, ask.
Good morning, Rav, dear friends, World Kli, and the leading World 10.
He means Be'er Sheva.
A question about, can I ask about what was in the first lesson? I wanted to stop there because it was very interesting.
Yeah, but everyone received these parts, right?
Yes. During the lesson, actually, I'm standing, hearing, watching, and I feel inside the group, and I know the world, a man is a small world, and everything's inside him. I feel that there's people who, it doesn't matter what they're doing, as long as they work and they make no calculation what I receive, what I understand. And due to that, I can feel many friends, that this is part of me too, in which it's that move is a little more difficult. When does it connect inside of a person, actually all those opposite trends?
If the Creator relates to you, then He will do whatever you need to be done to you. If He relates to you less, let's say, as if less, that depends on what? On His attitude, on His relation. What does that depend on? How much you can evoke him. It's like a little child that nags his mother and doesn't let her rest until she takes care of him and she gives him what he needs. And he has to prove to her, to his mother, that he's asking for something right. And so, and in the right order, and this is what she's waiting for. And then he understands better and better that she's always standing by. He just needs to ask gradually, correctly, with the right intention to use what she gives. And so if we're ready for it, this is called raising man. That our requests are the right combination between Bina and Malchut. That we want, together with the vessels of Malchut, to resemble Bina. And then we come to Keter. And then we bring the Oviut. We bring the Oviut. That's it, so let's try.
On one hand, the person identifies with his friends as they actually work above reason, out of a calculation of without looking at results or anything. On the other hand, he needs to raise man with the same parts that he feels, that to raise man for them so that the Creator will help them to move to that stage too. On one hand, I'm envious of them. On the other hand, I have to raise man for the forces that don't yet have that sensation?
And more, and more.
Thank you. Announcement.
Wait, we don't have anyone who announces anything today?
The lesson on the portion of the week with Dr. Michael Lightman. Today, Friday, between 1:30 to 3 p.m. Israel time. We'll conclude with that. Have a good day.
זה הזמן, 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 זה הזמן,